Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Speakeasy Marketing Roundtable. This is Dave Charest, Content Manager here at Constant Contact, and today we're talking about online marketing success. And if the summer season represents a slower time for your business, it's a good opportunity to review what you've been doing, to be sure you're making the most of your online marketing efforts. So we'll be talking about that today, and so who's with us?
Hi, I am Erica Ayotte. I head up the social media team here at Constant Contact, and I don't have a beer.
Aww. Aww. Loser.
Thanks.
I am Danielle Cormier, and I am our social media community manager, and I am drinking a summer shandy.
Those are delicious.
Those are good.
It's refreshing.
I'm Azure Collier. I'm a social media education developer, and I'm drinking a Mike's Hard Limeade.
Fancy. I'm Josh Mendelson, and I'm drinking a Saranac Wild Hop Pills.
Wild Hop Pills.
It's a nice upstate New York brewery.
Dave here again, and I'm drinking a rye IPA, India Pale Ales, and Saranac is what it is. So. I got to say, my new favorite drink, speaking of those shandies, is taking like a Shock Top or a Sam Summa and putting in a little bit of grapefruit juice in
there. Grapefruit juice?
Yes.
Interesting.
Delicious.
Interesting twist.
Delicious. I thought you were going to say like a shot in it.
No, those days are over. Let's move to our 20 versus 30s video. Yeah. Anyway, so online marketing success, right? Really, there's a few buckets of things you're really thinking of, and if it's your time to kind of review, which is a good time if it's part of your slow season, is to really kind of review what you're doing and making sure you're making the most of these efforts, right? That there's a few buckets these things fall into, and one of them is, like, how are new customers going to find you online? So that's really kind of the first spot to really think about. So what are the things that we need to consider when we're thinking about that?
Well, I think mobile is a huge component of mm-hmm. that. And so if you haven't checked out what your website or any of your other online destinations look like on a mobile device, you know, do a Google search for your business using mm-hmm. a mobile device, that sort of thing. If you haven't done that in a while, this is a good time to try that out and see what you look like on a mobile device. Sometimes when we get so involved in our businesses and we're, you know, working on so many different things, we kind of forget to take a step back and look at, you know, with a fresh set of eyes, like how someone new to your business might be perceiving you. So I think I would start there.
Yeah. And that, you know, it's interesting too, because you have kind of two places that people, you know, because obviously one of the main places that this whole thing starts when people are looking for a place is obviously with some type of search, right? So that, as you mentioned, it can be on a mobile device, but it can also be on the desktop. And, you know, before it really seemed like it was enough just to have a website, right? You have a website, all right, great, people are going to find you. But now there are all these other kind of places that things popped up, like listing sites. There are city search guides, there are things like Yelp, the review sites, all those types of things. So there's other places where your business actually pops up. And a lot of times...
Social media.
Yeah, social media. So a lot of times those places actually can be surprising too, because you're like, hey, how the heck did my business end up over there? And a lot of times that information can be incorrect. There could be things that are obviously, you know, mistakes or, you know, other information that isn't there. So as you mentioned, it becomes important to really make sure that you have the up-to-date information on those mobile places. And
I would say, too, all of those signals, like you said, there's a lot of different places you can be found. But as it pertains to search, all of those different areas affect your search ranking mm-hmm. as well. So if you're strong on listing sites, if you're strong in social, if you have a strong web presence, all of those pieces add up to being more easily found.
Giving yourself a better chance to be found across the board.
Right. Those are all signals to Google or Bing or whatever search engine you use to, you know, increase your page rank.
I think it's important, too, for mobile, because those people are probably closer to a purchase because they're on the go. They're looking for what they need right in that moment. Mm-hmm. So they might be making a purchase sooner than someone searching at home or someone reading your newsletter. So it's good to be able to have the right address, the right directions, the hours of your business, all of that information.
I think it's also good to kind of play the role of your customer and try out different keywords that they might search for. And you might end up on some kind of site that you didn't know existed. It might have incorrect or old information, and then you can go in there and fix it.
Yeah, Danielle, I know you recently wrote a post. I mean, one of the simplest ways, too, to kind of get into this mobile thing to think about is a lot of times you mention mobile to folks, and there's like an overwhelm that comes over you.
They need to build an app.
Yeah, I need to build an app. I need to build a website. But there's actually, you know, a lot of these sites already have their own apps, and Facebook is a prime example of that, right? Just making sure you're up to date with your Facebook.
Yeah, page. And I think that as Facebook mobile gets more and more popular, the Facebook local will definitely, and it'll show you the areas in right around you that your friends have checked in, the that they've left recommendations for or what's near you and what their business is like. So,
what are some quick tips, let's just say, for the Facebook page? What do you need to definitely make sure that you have right on there?
One thing that often businesses don't do is make sure they have the right category. If you're not listed as a local business, you're not going to show up when people search for local businesses. So if you just go into your basic info tab and you can change it, it's a drop-down listing, and then you can also choose like pet shop or retail store or restaurant, whatever your business is. So it can really help bring up the right category for you when they're searching.
Very cool. Great tip. So, all right. So that's how new people can find you, right? So once they find you, they come into your place of business or they do business with you. There's really the idea of what you want to do and what we talk about all the time is you want to build relationships with those folks and stay top of mind. So, you know, we talk a lot about the engagement marketing experience here where you create a wow experience for somebody and then you entice them to stay in touch with you and then you engage with them and then that engagement activity that you have with them helps you get new referrals because it creates social visibility and drives new people to your door, right? So some of the ways then, you know, we think about that is, so what are the ways that we can stay connected with them? Obviously it's what? It's getting connected on your social accounts.
Email.
An email is a huge one, and often, I think, probably the most important one, right? It's like you use these social things that drive social visibility, but then you're always looking to drive those folks to email because the email is really the driving force behind the actions you want people to take.
And, right, and you can think about social as the hook to get them on your email list because the thing to remember about social is that it's, right, it's super powerful. There's a heavy, I hate using this word, but I'm going to use it anyway, viral element. You can get a lot of visibility, but at the end of the day, you're renting space on social. So it's really important to stay in touch with folks on social, to make sure that you're stay top of mind with them because they're spending time on Facebook and Twitter and other social media sites. But it's really, really important to get their email address at the end of the day because you're going to own that list. Facebook could make a change tomorrow that could do something to your visibility in the newsfeed, right? We know that. If you have that email address, you're always going to have that ability to contact that customer in some way.
Yeah, and there have been recent studies that have shown still that email is still the number one driving force behind actually driving revenue for businesses because that's, again, you're meeting folks where they are every day, which is their inbox. And it's a more intimate space. There's kind of like a, I like to equate it to, there's a lot of noise on social, right? There's a lot of things going on.
A lot more competition, even with friends, not just businesses.
Yeah, so it's like you're really competing with a lot of stuff. But if you find those folks that are interested in taking that next step, they're bringing you into a kind of less chaotic zone, sometimes, depending on, I guess, what you're doing. But it's really a more personal space. Right, Josh?
That's right, Dave.
I was like, oh, Josh is here.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think you make a really good point. And you know, the nice thing about the inbox as well is it's not as quick moving, right? So, you know, your chance, whether someone reads it or not, the chance of them seeing that it is going to be way higher than it is on social. Just by, you know, everything gets into the inbox and everything is still there when you're ready for it, whereas social, sometimes you just miss things in the feed.
And the email reporting benefits are great too, you know, getting to know how they're interacting with your content and how you can help them better.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good point is the digital body language of your
digital
audience, whether
body
that's
language.
I've recently learned actually someone had used that term before and I was like, jerks. Damn, I thought I made it up. But anyway, there's a lot of both within email and social. I mean, there's some direct actions you can take. You can always send out a survey, right, and ask your customers, you know, for anything from how frequently they want to receive your newsletter to, you know, what are their, you know, preferences for items in your store. There's a wide range of things. But if you look at your data also tells a story. So things like open rate, things like click-through rate, you can go back in your emails and see which links they're clicking on, and that's an indication of how interested or engaged they are with particular pieces of your content. So if you go back and look at what people are clicking on, what they're responding to on Facebook, you can get a better idea of, you know, what's going to engage them and what they're interested in and serve them more of that.
Yeah, and there's a great interplay, too, between email and social is that, you know, you get your more direct things in the inbox and stay there, but because folks are also on social and doing those things, there's an opportunity to really just, again, just stay top of mind because you're there in those places where they're hanging out.
I know there's been a few studies done, and of course I can't remember exactly who did them or you know.
Good credible source.
Yeah, good credible source. Take it from me.
Someone once told me.
But I do think that there is a correlation between social media activity and open rate, mm-hmm. or I would like to see a study done on that, just because if you're staying top of mind, if you are connected in several places with businesses, either, you know, if it's on Facebook or Pinterest or wherever it is, it seems to make sense that you would be much more likely to open and read that email.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, over the years you've seen a lot of businesses really try to get you connected in multiple channels, and you know, I think it's also really important that if you're doing that, you need to diversify your content. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with posting your email newsletter to your Facebook page or sharing it out via Twitter, but you've got to do more than that. If you're asking someone to connect with you in a number of different venues, you've got to have content specific to that channel, not just repurposing the same content everywhere.
Great point. So now we're talking about this. So we talked about how they're going to find you, how you're going to stay connected with them. And then how do you actually think about the process of actually getting those customers to come back again and again, so they're doing more business with you? Because obviously that's the ultimate goal at the end of the day, right? So what are some of the types of things that we're thinking about in kind of that area?
Well, I think, you know, and you kind of mentioned the whole engagement cycle earlier, but I think the best way to, you know, obviously we're talking about getting more customers from the customers that you already have, and mm-hmm. nothing is more powerful than a word of mouth referral from a customer who's really happy. Yeah. So treating your customers really, really well and holding on to them, it costs much less to hold on to a great customer than it does to acquire a new one.
Yep.
So, you know, make sure that you're focusing on taking care of them, providing great customer service, making sure that they're having a great experience either mm-hmm. in store or online, making all your information really easy to find and share, I mm-hmm. think are just, you know, all best practices that help you make that connection even stronger.
And I think, like, giving them a reason. So being thankful to your customers, right? There's a million places they can choose from. No matter what you sell, there's a bunch of options out there,
right?
So both in-store, but certainly through your channels where, you know, say thank you. You know, give them
I think saying thank you
is
so underrated.
It goes a long way, yeah. You know? You know, say thank you. Give them an offer that's exclusive to them, you know, like, whether that's a discount or a buy one, get one, or something to encourage them.
Reward.
Yeah, something to encourage them to not only come back, but to bring a friend. You know, mm-hmm. so I think, you know, really think about, like, what is the action that you want your customers to take and develop a strategy to get them to do it mm-hmm. rather than just, like, throwing stuff out there. But it all starts with, you know, to Erica's point, a great customer experience, and in a lot of ways just making people feel good about the purchase. So
yeah.
Thank you. Really appreciate your support. Would love for you to bring a friend next time.
Yeah. So one of the things, Erica, that you kind of mentioned earlier was like this idea of, you know, surveying your customers. Find out what information that they think is relevant. And Josh, you're talking about offers. And I think, you know, there's really you need to strike a balance, right? You need to figure out what's the right mix of providing great, valuable content and valuable things that they're going to find interesting or at least want to engage with, but also mixed with the things that are going to help drive business for you. So I know we usually say like an 80-20 mix, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's the thing. I think for the most part, you have to give more than you ask for.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about an 80-20 mix, we mean 80% of the time, give. Give great information, give great tips, add value when we're talking about, you know, email communications or social media communications. After you do that, if you build that relationship and build that rapport, you've earned the right for that, you know, that 20% to, mm-hmm. you know, talk about yourself and your business, or that might include an offer, or that might include a refer a friend campaign, something along those lines. But make sure that you're giving more than you're asking for,
yeah.
and you're more likely to see action on that smaller 20%.
But would you put an offer in the give category or the get category? Right? You know, so
it would totally depend on the offer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think there's some framing there too, right? I mean, like, how, like, you're creating something special for maybe loyal customers. Like, you know, like, so you're giving somebody something almost as a thank you for being part of your email list or being connected with you in some way.
Absolutely. Showing them the value of being your Facebook fan.
Right, yeah, making
yeah.
it, yeah, you almost make it, you know, the part of it is always trying to keep those, you know, subscribers on your list and that type of thing, and giving them a great reason to stay on your list, and that is part of it.
And we know that, you know, from research that we've done, that the
yeah.
number one reason that people sign up for email lists and like you on Facebook and is for special discounts and offers that are exclusive to them. So,
yeah.
you know, I think to your point, it's a framing issue, right? It's not a sell, but it's, you can entice people to buy more by giving them something that not just the average person on the street can get.
Yeah. And going on with your give topic, right, is that it's it's kind of, it invokes this feeling of reciprocity.
I knew I was thinking about it too, and I knew I was going to say it too hard.
I blew it. But that idea, right, that if you're giving and giving, and then people almost want to give back to you by taking
quid pro quo, that's easier to say.
So some of the other things that we can do, I mean, you're creating surveys to find out the stuff that's relevant and types of things that customers are going to want. But there's also, I mean, you can also look at and think about organizing special events where maybe they bring their friends with them, or it's just special for them, but it's a way to, again, make them feel special. And really play up how important they are to your business, you know, and to your bottom line. There's other things you can do, like, you know, run sweepstakes on Facebook, that types of stuff for your Facebook fans. And then also, you know, think about doing, you know, special deals, that type of thing, offers and that type of stuff.
And I think, you know, letting people behind the curtain is always welcome too. So, you know, I know personally, like, I'm always fascinated with what goes on behind the scenes of anything. And right now with, you know, with Instagram videos and Vine videos and with stuff we've talked about in prior episodes, there's really easy ways to, like, just show some people something special that they wouldn't normally get. Danielle's really a master of that.
Do you want to, like, share some examples of some of the things you've done with Constant Contact recently?
I think just showing, like, behind the scenes, like, how you maybe set up your product or the store, how you set it up, or what's going on in a meeting or what the day-to-day life is.
Or the ice cream truck we have
this week. Yeah, special events, things like that. Yeah, it gives a little glimpse inside of the business.
I'm sorry, Josh. You have beer?
I have beer. I'm happy with beer.
That is true. Yeah, beer, ice cream, beer. Has anybody done that?
The ice cream float. It totally worked. The beer.
Oh, was that beer float? Oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
Darn.
Well, I'm not here, but they have it at a bunch of, like, high end.
I think we have them here though. Here
we have beer floats. I think it's just lovely. Yeah.
So anyway, so the next thing here is really to think about. All right, so you've done this stuff. You've created great offers, but then you also want to encourage your customers to tell their friends about you, right? So you get new referrals and that type of thing. And a lot of times that's as simple as just making sure you ask, right? Or that you're giving folks, especially when you're doing these things online, you're making sure that all your content, all your website, your Facebook things have the opportunity for folks to share that information, right? And to share your offers and those things if they're not exclusive.
And I would say, too, when it comes to sharing, it is, I think shares don't, you know, fall like rain, right? Encouraging people to share something, I mean, it has to be unique. It has to be a value. It has to be something that it can't be average, basically. Mm-hmm. There's, like we were saying before, like Danielle's saying, where there's a lot of social media noise out there, a lot of just noise in general, wherever you are. And so the best way to get shares is to make it unique, make it valuable, make it funny. And I think sometimes, as you know, maybe take a risk with something, because if it's vanilla, it probably won't get shared.
But also make it really relevant, right? I mean, that's what it boils down to. It's
and
really
then
knowing
simple
your audience,
too. Yeah. And I think don't be afraid to actually ask, like, share this with your friends if you like it, or if whatever it pertains to your business.
And I think if you do that, you know, whether it's taking a risk on the content or taking a risk by actually asking people to share, and no one shares, don't get discouraged, right? Like, you know, I think, you know, whether it's social or email, these are all marketing communications are a constant experiment. So, you know, don't be discouraged if you try one thing and it doesn't work. It just means try something else next time.
That's a great point.
Yeah, and Erica, you touched on this. You know, as you're doing all these efforts and you're trying all these things, and you're trying to figure out it's really about tracking your success, right? Figuring out what works, looking at the different, you know, reporting things that you can look at to try to make sense of the data and figure out, all right, these things are really working and these things aren't. Maybe we should try something here and try something there.
And that's a great point. You don't have to be a data scientist to figure that
out.
Oh my
God. You're full of the terms today.
I know. Honestly, it can be as simple as just looking at subject lines and seeing what got the best open rate and iterating on that.
Or sharing a video and you know people like video.
Right, exactly. I always say, you know, when it comes to marketing tests, especially small businesses that we know, you know, are working so much in their business, they might not have a lot of time to you know, do A/B testing or anything like that. I would say, you know, spend 90% of your time iterating on what you know works, and then spend 10% of your time testing and trying things and trying to figure out what might work next.
Yeah. Great. So, guys, just to recap kind of what we've been talking about today, right? There's One, you want to make sure that your business can be found online. Two, you want to really make sure that you have a way to stay in touch with new and existing customers. Three, you want to create a plan for ways to generate repeat business. And four, you really want to engage and encourage people to interact with you online because that helps with the referrals. And then five, just measure your success. Look for the things that are important and help you move down that path of doing more things that bring you more business. We also have a guide here for online marketing success for small business, which we'll link to in the blog post. So if you want to get a deeper dive into some of the things we've been talking about here today, be sure to check that out. We'll catch you next time on the Speakeasy Marketing Roundtable. Bye-bye now.